Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou, ko Julie Ferry tuku ingoa, ko Puki Tapapa Puki Wiwi te maunga, ko te awanga te awa, ko Manukau te whanga. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora, my name's Julie Ferry. I'm the Deputy Chair of the Puki Tapapa Local Board and one of five Roskill Community Voice Reps on that local board of Auckland Council. I'm also part of the City Vision Centre-Left whānau and I have a regular spot here on Red Alert Radio. I'm very keen to get your feedback. You can find me easily on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Julie Ferry. That's spelled F for Fred, A-I-R-E-Y. We also have a Red Alert Radio Facebook page. Search for Red Alert Radio AKL and you should find us. We put up links to the podcasts of these shows once they're up online, as well as other bits of useful, relevant news and information. And you can get all of our past shows on the Red Alert Radio archive at planetaudio.org.nz. Now today we've got a very topical topic. Today I'm very excited to be talking with Eden Williams from Generation Zero about the transformational changes coming for transport in Auckland. Last week we had the announcement of what's called ATAP 2, the Auckland Transport Alignment Project, which is an agreement between central and local government about transport priorities, projects and importantly funding in the Auckland region. And then earlier this week, the draft Regional Land Transport Plan, which is often known as the RLTP, came out from Auckland Transport, and that builds on and confirms what was in the ATAP last week and also seeks public views on a quite ambitious program of transport investment for the Auckland region, from light rail from the city to the airport to significantly reducing deaths and injuries on the road, increasing funding for cycling and walking infrastructure and much, much more. Generation Zero has been at the forefront of pushing for changes of this nature for several years now, in line with their primary aim of reducing Aotearoa New Zealand's carbon emissions to zero, hence the zero in Generation Zero. Currently, transport makes a major contribution to carbon pollution, and of course high-emission transport modes like private cars have other costs to the community too. Eden is a spokesperson for Generation Zero and has worked on a lot of their community engagement, contributing to campaigns like Fix Our City and those very important election scorecards for the local government elections. Thanks for your time today, Eden. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Great. First up, you tell us a little bit about Generation Zero. I'm pretty familiar with it because it's an organisation that has done a lot of interesting work and lobbying and research in the urban planning and transport space. But might not be that familiar to listeners. So tell us a bit about Generation Zero and how you got involved.
Yep, so we're a youth-led organisation. We come up with campaigns relating to public transport and urban spaces, all in the name of reducing our carbon footprint. So I got involved through Auckland Uni. We had a club there for a bit, but my lecturer actually enlightened me to the great stuff Generation Zero was doing. And then from there, we were smooth sailing.
Great. And so how long have you been involved?
Around 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
We're starting on the field.
And listen, so you can't see Greer, but she's quite young. And so I'm like, wow, you've already been involved for 4 years. You must have started when you were pretty young.
Handing out flyers and stickers.
Yeah, that's
where we all start.
Yeah, that's how I started my involvement in politics too. So in terms of Generation Zero, the transport and urban design focus has been a really big issue, and I know that it comes from a place of wanting to reduce carbon emissions, as you've said, and promoting that shifting from fossil fuel dependent transport modes towards a compact city approach is part of it too.
And livable.
Absolutely livable, yeah. And so Generation Zero has been doing a lot of lobbying and campaigning in the space around things like density done well, and more infrastructure for active transport, cycling and walking, more investment in public transport. Some people seem to think this is somehow really pro-developer and anti-community, and I've heard people mention something about Agenda 21 as well, and apparently because I shared a stage with someone from Generation Zero the other night, and we were generally in agreement.
You're now a conspiracy.
That's right. I'm part of the Agenda 21 conspiracy. I'm not sure what Agenda 21 is about. Where's this coming from? What is this about?
Agenda 21 was a non-binding agreement in Brazil with the UN.
Right.
About sustainable developments in cities. I actually don't know all too much about the details, to be honest.
Sure.
So in this, I guess in the same way that we want sustainably developed cities, we agree with that.
Right. But it's not a big scary thing.
It's not a big scary thing that we've signed on to, or
yeah,
I'm not quite sure where that came from groups, but...
Sure. Yeah. And so, I mean, one of the ones that people may be the most familiar is, and I talked about this in my last two shows, which were around the backlash against cycling infrastructure, is some of the stuff around Westmere and Garnet Road. And so, you know, there seems to be this real, I'd almost say hatred from some people, and real fear about some of the changes that Generation Zero is promoting. Where do you think they're coming from with that?
So what we tried to do around the Greyland cycle lanes especially was make it more community-based and show that the community there did support it.
Yeah.
So we ran an event, Bike to the Future, number two.
Yep.
And we had 250 people cycling the streets, children, to show the support for cycle lanes. And it's not just about having the cycle lanes, it's about having them well designed. And that process for the cycle lanes in West Slynn did get niggly, and it was messy, and we realised that, but we just wanted to have that positive community spin on it to show that that's what people want.
Yeah.
It's not just about getting funding for cycling.
Yeah, and this nefarious agenda
and
to make our lives better. So, I mean, I'm quite familiar with that little West Slynn village, and it's always seemed quite sort of sleepy and very community focused. You know, there's not any chain stores there. You know, you've got your neighbourhood dress shop, you've got an independent bookseller, you've got, you know, what was Harvest Whole Foods, now Huckleberry's, that kind of place. So it was kind of surprising to see that all jump up. I think one of the things that people seem to be really sensitive about is loss of car parking.
Mm.
And I was actually at a meeting about one of our local parks this morning. This is out in Mount Roskill, folks, Keith A Park. We have this problem where people keep parking on the pavements. And it's like, you know, actually, you can't park on pavements, and we shouldn't have to have, and the logic is, but you don't have a sign up that says I can't park on the pavement. And it's like, but hang on, no, it works the other way around. You're supposed to park where it says you can park, where the lines are that clearly mark out the parks. You're not supposed to be able to park anywhere you want, but not where there's a sign saying do not park. So it's really interesting how attached people seem to be to car parking.
Yeah, it's about addressing that that kind of entitlement you get when you are in a car, and we can do that by bringing up the other modes of transport, because people still look at cycling and be like, oh, they're all over the road, well then give us a cycle lane. Or they're blocking the bus in the bus lane. Well, that's why we need cycle lanes. It can't be mixed all on the road.
And it's good to see Auckland Transport's has been working on it. I don't know where they're up to with it, but has been working on categorising roads according to sort of this matrix of, I think it's about 9 different road types, and looking at what is the appropriate mode priority. And I have to say, car parking usually comes out pretty low in most of those.
Especially in that Greyland area where you've got lots of schools around. It would be easy for families to travel from their house through the village to the school if there was a cycle lane that was well built for them and their purposes.
So now that we've sort of dealt with the fact that Agenda 21 isn't so scary. These big transport announcements and where to next. And transformational seems to be the word being the most used. The Minister of Transport's been using it. I heard the Chief Executive of Auckland Transport use it on Monday. The Mayor said it. Even the very gentlemanly provocateur of Auckland Urban Thought, Patrick Reynolds, has been calling it transformational and said he hasn't really got much to complain about. Is it really that big of a deal, do you think?
Absolutely. It's a massive deal. We've gone from 10 years of zero funding and support for innovating Auckland's transport system network, and now we've come to this alignment from government to council to communities, and there's the funding available, fully funded transport network. That's just something we all dream of from Gen Zero.
And I think one of the things that's really resonated with me is being able to see things like the congestion-free network, like the regional rapid rail stuff. I know that's coming in a few months. Yep. The work that you've done actually being picked up and put into policy and put into plans, how does that feel for the organisation?
Well, when I first popped into Generation Zero, we were just heard about the congestion-free network and we was working on that. So it's been a long slog for a lot of people, and it's very satisfying to see the relationships that you've built and the work that you've put into it come to fruition.
So I guess we'll come back to this later, but I guess what next for you guys? Because if you've got a lot of what you want in this plan, I guess there's some holding people to account and making sure that it happens and that it happens in the best way it can. But is there one particular project that you're most excited about?
I'm quite excited about SkyPath being a thing. The North Shore is very inaccessible to a lot of people, and it's just going to really open up that area. And we also did a lot of campaigning around getting the SkyPath done, so once we start seeing some construction being done, we'll be very happy. But then there's also the light rail network, which will be fantastic, opening up the airport and the Northwestern Link.
I'm personally really excited about the light rail from the city to the airport, because we totally need a mode shift on Dominion Road. Yes, it's chocker with buses, and even we're getting double deckers later in the year. A new network for the buses launches in July, but we're not getting the double deckers until I think December. But even that's not going to solve the problem. We need a mode shift.
Absolutely, especially when there are high density buildings being built up around there. You need to have mass transit, and it can't just be in buses.
Yeah, we need that capacity.
We need electric.
Yeah,
and so carbon.
Yeah, because the buses tend to be diesel, although there's two electric buses being trialled on the CityLink route at the moment. So I haven't seen one yet. My kids have said, how can we make sure we catch one of those specific CityLinks? And I'm sort of like, well, I'm not sure I can
wait
that
30
out.
Minutes for it to come and loop around again.
Yeah, so we'll have to give that a go at some point. And I was in London earlier this year, and they're trialling some electric buses there, and I mean all of their buses in the central city are double deckers, and they had quite a lot of hybrids, and we're trialling a small number of electrics as well. So the technology is coming.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good seeing everyone, not just us, but well, we're a bit behind most of the larger cities, but seeing everyone constantly innovating, and we're in the good position where we can take those overseas examples and implement them here. And
So is there anything in particular you've seen overseas that you'd really love to see Auckland do?
Oh, a subway would be nice, but
So the
City Rail Link is a start for that.
So
opening up our train and light rail networks.
So the when I was in London, I spent a lot of time on the tube. I went on the light rail. I went on the gondola, the cable car over the Thames. I went on the riverboat. My kids gave me a big long list of transport things I had to do, but I was very pleased to do
them. You've got really great kids.
They're
into transport.
They are. That's what we do on our weekends, is we go on public transport adventures. But just the connectedness, how integrated it was and how seamless it was. And I know people are often quite concerned about transfers and see that as a point where we lose people because they,
if you have to take two buses, then it's an hour pain rather than... But I found that when I was in Holland, it's seamless. It works so well. It doesn't matter if you have to take two trains because... they all match up so perfectly.
Yeah, and a lot of that's about that, frequency too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I remember I missed a tube train at one point, just missed it, and I was like, oh no, how long am I going to have to wait? It was 4 minutes for the next one, and it's just like, 4 minutes, that's fine. Like,
don't see anyone running for trains.
no, which is good, because it would be pretty unsafe, especially in some of those tube stations. So, so the, one of the other things about SkyPath, just to go back to that, is that I see that funded is also SeaPath, which is a project a lot of people probably won't be familiar with, but that will link SkyPath up with Takapuna. And so in the moment, SkyPath will link up south of the bridge to Northcote, but SeaPath will then go through, if people are familiar with the area where the warehouse built its head office, through there to link up with Takapuna, which, you know, Takapuna is identified as one of those coming urban areas, along with Newmarket and obviously the central city.
Yeah.
So are there other projects like that that you're sort of thinking, sort of as the next step stuff?
I would like to see, or Generation Zero would like to see, a step towards a car-free city centre.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit more fun, but a slide down Queen Street could be a bit fun.
Wow.
No, that's just being creative. But, a car-free city centre would really open up things, kind of like a, well, you could do it in multiple ways, but... how Barcelona has done their super blocks to allow still transit to get through, so you could have your linear park through there.
Like on Victoria Street.
Victoria Street linear park, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are little projects like that in the Albert Street tunnels, which is also really exciting for the city centre and make it something quite unique that other cities don't have to offer.
Really reflect our character in terms of, you know, the sea and the volcanoes and the, you know, we are hilly.
Exactly.
So let's embrace that. Yeah. Oh, that sounds really interesting. So the when I was in London, of course, that's not car-free in this, right in the centre. It's a big centre. But I have been to York, and there are a lot of those older cities in Europe which have old centres that are, you know, medieval centres where you can't drive a car, partly because, you know, the roads are cobblestones and not
tiny.
Built for cars. And it's interesting to me that Aucklanders seem to find, some Aucklanders seem to find that idea of a car-free area, no matter where it is. You know, take, for example, Freiburg Lane and the issues there around High Street.
Absolutely.
They seem to find that quite threatening. But, you know, we see the increase in foot traffic.
Absolutely. It goes back to that loss of parking that we touched on before. But you can see with O'Connell Street, it's just been fantastic for the area. And if High Street also, or Lawn Street, more importantly, because it's got the art gallery connecting it down, and if you have your Albert Street tunnels, then everything gets connected again. And we're going to that connectivity and less waiting times. Still at lights, you know.
Yeah, and I when I went to university, which was about 20 years ago, listeners, I lived on the North Shore, and I used to catch the bus and used to get off opposite where the Sky Tower is now. They were building it then. That's how old I am. And then I had to walk all the way down that hill and then back up through Albert Park to get across to the university, and then the reverse at night as well. And sometimes I had to do the reverse running to catch the last bus. So those Albert Park tunnels would have been fantastic.
Yeah. Just got to make sure that they're safe as well. You know, that's the big important thing, safety and mobility through there, because it's an enclosed space, so you've got to make sure you have all the safety measures for that. So.
Yeah. At the time, Albert Park was quite notorious, and some nights I would go around because I didn't feel safe in it. So that, you know, that's really interesting that Gen Zero has recognised that safety is a key aspect of mobility.
Absolutely.
Being able to move around, that's really encouraging. So we seem to be in this iterative cycle, and you've talked about the car-free centre. And each plan, when I say initiative cycle, I mean that each plan we do is better than before, but still not necessarily quite there yet. You've talked about a car-free centre. Is there anything else in sort of a broader regional sense that you guys would like to see either in the next alignment project budget or that you'll be specifically lobbying for in the final RLTP when it's adopted?
I'm not sure. I can't confirm what we'll be lobbying for in the final.
It did only come out like yesterday, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
So I haven't quite touched on that yet. But we, you know, increasing that rail network.
Yeah,
will just be great.
Yeah.
Making sure the mobility and everyone can get from one side of the city to the other seamlessly.
Yeah, because there is a lot of getting in and out of the city.
Yeah.
But it's some of those crossroads
need to be improved, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, listeners, just to let you know that there are links already up on our Facebook page to the draft for the Regional Land Transport Plan and how to make submissions through there. But we will, I'm sure Generation Zero will decide on some bullet points once they've had a chance to fully digest the paperwork, and we'll put that up there for you too, once that's available. Now, you also worked on the campaign lobbying for more diversity on Auckland Transport's board, and it's something I'm really interested in, because a lot of the circles I move in local government, you know, it is a lot of old white men in suits, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. And, you know, bringing more people with different life experiences, different prisms that they're seeing the world through, I have found in a really practical sense in my community really helps with good decision making. So why did that matter to Generation Zero? Why campaign for more diversity amongst the board directors?
So Generation Zero supports an inclusive city, and how can we have an inclusive city when the transport, which is a key part of everyone's life and everyone's lifestyle, how do they make decisions for the people that they don't understand?
Yeah.
And so it's just what you touched on before. It's you need to have people with multiple perspectives to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the white men that you can't tell apart are making them. And it'd be good to see some diversity within that.
Yeah. And I think
Well, after, I'm not sure if it's a result of the campaign, but afterwards there was an increase in female board members, so that's great. But it's still only that one step closer.
Yeah.
You know, there's still so much more room to improve.
Yeah, there's been some really interesting conversations just sort of happening on the fringes, and I'm waiting for them to... I've actually suggested to Auckland Council that they look at having an Auckland Conversations speaker specifically on issues around the gender impacts of planning and transport, because there's not a lot of that stuff now, and looking at Auckland region becoming what's called a CEDAW city, which is a committee on the elimination of discrimination against women, which is a United Nations instrument to basically make cities friendlier places for women, where women can participate on an equal basis to men.
So Women in Urbanism is a really fantastic group for anyone out there who wants to go, who's interested in diversity and transport or urban design. You should definitely get in touch with them.
Yep.
So fantastic people doing great things.
And they've got a Facebook group, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Women in Urbanism.
Great. Well, we'll put a link up to them on our Facebook page too. So was there any particular reason for you that diversity issue resonated? Have you... I've noticed in Generation Zero used to be quite a lot of men.
Boys club.
Yeah. and now there's heaps of great, dynamic, smart, articulate young women like yourself. So is that something the organisation's consciously done internally?
Yeah. We realise that we often get asked to speak at things or, we're making a campaign on behalf of this idea, and we want to be as inclusive as possible because that's what we're also aiming for our city. So
living the values.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's cool. So how can people find out more about, get involved in Generation Zero if they're interested?
Cool. So you can just hop onto our Facebook page is probably the best way.
Yep.
Flick us a line, or you can find me. I'm Eden Williams, and I'll get in contact and we'll sort you out. We also have open meetings that you can come along to on Tuesdays. So
great. Cool. Yeah. Well, we'll flick a link up to that. And I guess returning to our main theme about the draft regional land transport plan, so how can people find out more? How can they have input? What's the process there?
Yep. So there's a have your say for Auckland. It's open till the 14th of May. So get on there and fill out that submission form.
Yep.
We don't have a quick submit yet, but there might be one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watch out for that.
It's a very quick turnaround for this, and there are some, Auckland Transport are putting on some public sessions, but they're only doing four across the whole city. So I know some local boards are thinking about how they can promote it through their own local channels as well. And so the board that I'm on is actually having a community forum that's themed on it, but that will have already happened by the time this interview plays. Sorry, folks. You're living in the future. So, but it's a very tight time frame, but that's basically because of central government, and they couldn't release the draft plan for Auckland until they knew what the central government intentions were, and of course those didn't fully come out until last week. So now you've got to have your submissions in by the 14th of May. For them to be considered, it's this year, and at the same time, there's also a consultation, folks, around the regional fuel tax. So they asked in the long term plan, which we talked about a couple of months ago. The long term plan was, the question was basically, should we look at a regional fuel tax to fund investment in transport, and that was quite strongly supported. It was certainly in my area it was. And now it's about, okay, so this is the specific proposal.
Like?
Yeah, this is what it would look like, and these are the specific projects it would fund. So do have your say on that bit too. Does Generation Zero have a position on the fuel tax?
So we recognise the inequity that a tax can cause, especially one of this nature. But the benefits that it'll bring will be fantastic, and especially because we can choose we can have our say in where this funding is going towards.
Yeah,
we can really make it our own.
Yeah, and it is for 10 years. It's not a permanent tax.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if folks are particularly interested, there's a list of all the projects on the Auckland Transport website, and on that akhaveyoursay.nz website as well.
There is a submission
around
form for the, and it's a nice quick one. Really, it's quite a beautiful one.
Yeah.
As far as submissions go.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to submit either, because I've been reading the long-term plan submissions to the Pokitapa local board over the last few weeks, and trust me, nothing you say is going to be stupid or a waste of time or anything, because people tell us all sorts of things of varying value, and I'm sure listeners that what you have to say would definitely be worth at least somebody reading and thinking about. So please do have your say in those processes. It's never a waste of time from the point of view at my end as a decision maker reading those submissions. I really value that input.
Absolutely, and we are a democracy, and it's important to have an input of your community and where you're growing up and where your future will grow up. So
yeah, absolutely. Even if it's a project that you really support, because that's the thing, is we often get people submit about things they don't like. Please do submit about things you do like as well, because otherwise when decisions are being made about priorities, it can be, oh, well, we got heaps of people who didn't like this, but we didn't get many people who did, and we haven't got enough money, so let's not do that. And actually, it turns out there were heaps of people who liked it, but they didn't say anything because they were like, great, it's in the plan, I don't need to say anything. Cool. Thanks so much, Emma. That's really helpful, and hopefully Gen Zero will get what they want out of this process. Thanks for listening, folks, and I'd love to hear your feedback via Twitter or Facebook. This has been Julie Ferry for Red Alert Radio. Ka kite anō.
Together next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/RedAlertRadio.